I appreciate the fact that you are here and that we are able to spend time in God's Word this evening. We're going to have to move kind of quickly. We have a lot to say and a lot of important things. Much of it is going to be Scripture because the Scriptures speak so directly about God's compassion. This is the second week that it's happened, and I assure you, last week nor this week, did Jeff and I confer on what we were going to present or the method in which we were going to present it. But it's happened yet again. We are so attuned to one another. His closing question this morning, to whom will you show yourself to be a neighbor or prove yourself to be a neighbor? To whom is compassion given? To whom is compassion shown? If you look at the Old Testament passages concerning the compassion of God, He reveals to us who compassion should be shown to. And sometimes it's in sweeping way, and other times it's in a very detail-oriented way. But we begin with that question, to whom do we typically show compassion? Would it not be to those to whom we have an emotional connection, or else an intellectual intent? People who we are close to, our family, our friends, fellow workers, are shown compassion. The fatherless and orphans and even widows usually are shown compassion. The physically sick as well as the spiritually sick and even strangers are often shown compassion. The Hebrew word most often translated pity seems close in meaning to our English word empathy. Empathy means the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Sympathizing with or having compassion for someone or something is the basis of this Hebrew word. Don H. Stewart wrote on the topic of compassion in Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary. He said, "With the emotional content goes the intellectual intent to help." When we understand what he is saying, we recognize this to be true because of what God did with the Israelites as they went in to possess the promised land. God forbade Israel to have pity on the peoples that they drove out of the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 16 says, "You shall consume all the peoples whom the Lord your God will deliver to you. Your eye shall not pity them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you." God refused pity upon the disobedient people, and God refused that pity upon them, whether it was His own people, Israel, or their neighbors. But in forbidding them to have pity, He distanced themselves from showing them compassion. Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse number 11 says, "So as I live, declares the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable idols and with all your abominations, therefore I will also withdraw, and my eye will have no pity, and I will not spare." God wouldn't spare His people when they rebelled against Him in disobedience. An interesting contrast then comes up between the emotional and the intellectual elements of compassion as seen in Jonah. When Jonah had compassion on a plant, Jonah chapter 4 verse 10, but did not have compassion on the population of Nineveh, who did not know the difference between their right and left hand. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 11. God is compassionate. He lives and acts according to who He is, thus all His acts are compassionate. in His sovereignty, that is His supreme power and authority, and also His divine wisdom, God will show compassion. When Moses saw God's glory while standing in the cleft of the rock, God said to him, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." Exodus chapter 33 and verse 19. To whom is compassion shown? God shows compassion to whom He wishes. God shows compassion for many that we would consider to be the regulars. Compassion is shown to the regulars because there is another Hebrew word for compassion that means to regret, to have sorrow for, to grieve over, or even to spare someone. An example of this is in 2 Samuel chapter 12. You might recall the incident where Nathan goes to David about his sin with Bathsheba. Nathan reveals this story of how a rich man had many lambs and he went and stole the one sole lamb of a poor man in order to provide for a wayfarer that had come to visit the rich man. Well, the Bible reads in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 4, "Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling," New American Standard Bible, "unwilling," note that word, "to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." New American Standard Bible says unwilling. If you're reading from the King James Version, it says spared. The NIV says he refrained. The rich man had more compassion for his own sheep than for the poor man who was his neighbor, from whom he stole his sole sheep. We show more compassion to people and things that belong to us, things that are our own, than we do to others or to the things of others. Close connections are shown compassion. You remember the Gibeonites who wanted seven men of Saul's descendants to be handed over to them. This is an attempt to make restitution for a transgression of David's for Saul against the Gibeonites. There in 2 Samuel chapter 21, we find in verse 6 that because of an oath between the Lord and David, and then David and Jonathan extending that mercy, Mephibosheth was spared. Mephibosheth was spared because he was the son of Jonathan, a very close friend of David. So David showed compassion not only to his friend Jonathan, but to his son Mephibosheth. Those who are close to us in connection often receive compassion. Do you remember Exodus chapter 2? The compassion that was shown to baby Moses. Pharaoh's daughter had gone down to the river and she saw among the reeds a basket. So she sent her maid to go get the basket. And the maid goes and retrieves the basket and brings it back to Pharaoh's daughter. When she opens it up, she sees the child inside. And behold, the boy is crying. The text in verse 6 of Exodus 2 says, "And she had pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.'" What a shame and disgrace it is for so many to not show compassion to a helpless child. A Hebrew word that is translated compassion is rehom. Rehom is related to the Hebrew word for the womb. The term expresses a mother or a father's compassion for a helpless child. We see it brought up in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. Isaiah 49 verse 15 asks this question, "Can a woman forget the nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb?" God said, "Even those," or "even these, may forget, but I will not forget you." In Psalm 103, verse 13, it's said about God that just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God has compassion upon those who respect him. This type or this form of compassion is protective by nature. It seeks to be expressed aggressively in acts of selfless service. The majority of the Bible's use of rehom, this compassion from God, has God as the subject, the giver of this compassion, and someone or something in this temporal world as its object or the recipient. The adjective form of this Hebrew word describes God as compassionate in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. And usually refers to God's compassion toward His people, but can also be towards the rebellious. God's covenant relationship with His people Israel required this compassion because there were times when they listened to Him and did His will and followed His commands. But God showed them compassion even when they rebelled. Elisha, the prophet, said that in the days of Jehoahaz, Hazael, king of Aram, oppressed Israel. But the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them and turned to them because of His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He would not destroy them or cast them out from His presence until the account of 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 23. God was compassionate toward the rebellious to the point that there was no remedy left. Zedekiah rebelled against the Lord and against Nebuchadnezzar, to whom he swore allegiance to God in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Down in verses 15 and 16 of 2 Chronicles 36, "The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by His messengers because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised His words and scoffed at His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people until there was no remedy." God will show compassion to the rebellious, but God will draw a line on His compassion. In anger, God often showed no pity on rebellious people. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 6, it's His own words recorded for us, "For I will no longer have pity on the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. But behold, I will cause the men to fall, each into another man's power and into the power of his king. And they will strike the land, and I will not deliver them from their power." God would let invading forces come in and take over His people, and He would not resist them. God's compassion, though, for the rebellious was aimed at changing the situation. We see this in Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse number 4. It explains quite succinctly. God said, "For my eye will not have pity on you, nor will I spare you, but I will bring your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord." God allowed rebellious people who continued to reject His compassion to be punished. The punishment was allowed in order to change them, and to change their situation. It was by the grace of God then that God more often showed compassion and had pity on His people. You remember Lot and his wife as they were leaving the city of Sodom. Genesis account, chapter 19, says that Lot hesitated. Verse 16 says then that two angels seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him. When Israel as a nation rebelled with the golden calf at Mount Sinai, God showed His compassion by forgiving the people of their sin and reestablishing the covenant based on who He was and not who they were. Exodus chapter 34. But this repeated history continues throughout time as the people of Israel would do God's will and obey Him and draw very close to Him. But then they would wander. And in time, they would become disobedient. They would move far away from God. And God would have to send punishment. When punishment would come their way, most of the time, they would learn a lesson and return to God. Thus, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17, very near the end of the Old Testament, it sums up God's compassion for His people by His grace quite well. God said there, "They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare, I will have compassion on them as a man spares or has compassion on his own son who serves him." God would have compassion on the rebellious, especially when the rebellious would return to Him. In what is possibly a messianic reference, Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 10 details that God would enable the inhabitants of Jerusalem through His grace to mourn one whom they pierced. As we come to the New Testament, we know that Jesus was put to death by many who were rebelling against Him. And in Acts chapter 2, the day the church was established, there were many who heard a great lesson about repentance and returning to God. They were pricked in their heart and cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked because they knew their rebellion toward God had caused the Son of God to be put to death. You see, when God is ready to show compassion, He will show compassion upon whom He wishes, even to the rebellious. But oftentimes, His compassion toward the rebellious is at aim for them to repent. Micah, the prophet of God, pleaded to God that He would pardon and remove the sins of His people, again having compassion on His people. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. Micah understood the nature of God, that God is one who will pardon, that God is one who will remove man's sins from him when man turns to Him, when man cries out for deliverance. And so Micah cried out on the people's behalf. When God chastened Israel for her rebellion, the nation sometimes feared that God had permanently removed or taken away His favor from them. Asaph in Psalm 77 cries out to God in deep trouble as he's searching for the Lord. He's so distressed, in fact, that the text says that he cannot pray, but he cannot sleep. While he painfully remembers the good old days of how things were when his people were close to God, he wonders now if God has abandoned them altogether. In fact, Asaph asked that question in Psalm 77 and verse 9. Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Travel through the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, and others. Question if God had permanently withheld His compassion from His people. Two other Hebrew words are particularly interesting that are translated as compassion. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse number 6, the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in or to His heart. But God still acted to preserve human life. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. God was sorry that He had made man. Why? Because the way of man had become so wicked. God, who is called the glory of Israel, does not change His mind, according to a reliable translation of 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29. But there are other options for that term to mean to have regret or to relent or to recant. God does not relent until He's ready. God does not recant. But there is a sense in which God does repent, a word that normally means to change one's mind and action. There's three examples of these terms used in the Old Testament that help us understand them better. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 14. Moses pleaded for the people before God, reminding him of his covenant with Abraham. And thus God did not destroy Israel because of what they did towards Him in rebellion with the golden calf. Another occasion, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse number 16. There David repented of his sin of taking a census of the people. And he was given the opportunity to choose his own punishment. Choosing his own punishment, God began to deal out retribution. And in doing so, God stayed the hand of the death angel as He was about to destroy Jerusalem. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 16. Because God was sorry. He repented. Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 10, regarding the people of Nineveh, when they turned from their wicked ways, God changed His mind about the destruction and changed His action in course. In each one of these three cases, the thing that allowed God to change His mind and His action was the fact that the people, or else their circumstances, changed enough for God to deal with them differently. God was able to show them compassion because as a rebellious people, they repented. God's compassion would then revive each time, and He would restore His people, especially when they returned to Him and cried out for deliverance. J.W. McCullough-John says, "The prophets and other men of God in the Old Testament taught that anyone who had experienced God's mercy, God's compassion, would feel it his duty to have compassion on his fellows." Compassion is to be shown to the regulars, as we might consider them. The people we typically think about in need of compassion. those who are our own, those with whom we have close connection, for the babies, and for the people who are in a covenant relationship with God, especially to those of the household of faith, we might term it. Rebellious people receive compassion because of who God is, not what they have done, because of His grace, not because they deserve it, because He is just, not because they are right. Repentant people are shown compassion because they have learned to fear the Lord, oftentimes because of the punishment put upon them. When rebellious or disobedient people suffer God's punishment, it is an extreme lesson. And so people are moved to return to God and cry out for deliverance, and God will show them compassion. God wants to show compassion to you because compassion is to be shown to everyone who does not reject it completely. How many times has God shown you compassion? There is a limit to God's compassion. He will draw a line that He will not cross. And He wants to show you compassion now without rejection, so that He never has to withhold His compassion permanently. And so He extends to you a great invitation to believe Him when He says that He will show compassion upon those who repent of sin, to those who confess belief in His Son, and those who are obedient to His will, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. He wants you to believe it, that the wayward and those who have erred on the way and anyone who practices sin or lawlessness can receive His compassion if they will but return to Him and seek deliverance. God wants to show you compassion. God wants you to turn to Him to be delivered from your sins. He's showing you compassion with this opportunity. Let it not be that this be God's last effort to show you compassion. As together we stand and as we sing.